Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, we're here. We're back, you know, after a millennia, we have returned.
Yes, we want to issue an apology after the previous episode. Maybe we took it a bit too far.
Who's we? I ain't apologizing for nothing.
I feel like there are people that listened to that episode and took it too far because, like, right after we released, that's when the Assassin's Creed Shadows dropped.
Yeah, that was a bit of a moment, but you know, hey, that was just unfortunate timing. We didn't know it was going to drop that day, but it doesn't matter. I said what I said.
You know what? I look forward to when the Acolyte comes out and we have to go through this entire process all over again, since one of the main leads is a black woman. So,
black and a woman.
Yeah,
so we're going to get hit on two sides on that one.
So people are going to lose their minds as usual, like what happened with Obi-Wan Kenobi. But if you see the title of today's episode, we are going to talk about the biggest fall-offs in anime. So we're just going to have some discussions, some with like honorable mentions that are debatable on whether it's a true fall-off, and then some that are like clear-cut. This is in honor of Ninja Kamui and whatever happened in the second half of season one. I pray there are no more seasons to that.
Dang. Just going to mention our first pick right off the bat. That's crazy.
Don't worry. We'll definitely touch on it. But before we get into that, let's hit you with the Legal Spiegel.
All right. So the purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by the respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised. Also, I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meech presents
the Blared City Podcast. It's been too long. We're already off beat. But with that, just a quick catch up on some housekeeping. We will, as we get into the next part of season four, we will be redoing bi-weekly episodes of The Acolyte. So we're going to recap episodes 1 and 2, 3 and 4. 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 together. So there will be 4 reviews of that. And then we're also going to have recaps of The Boys. So we're going to do episodes 1 through 3 when they drop on the same day, episodes 4 through 6, and then episodes 7 through 8. So we're going to figure out how we want to, which days we'll be dropping on most likely for The Acolyte. It will either be Saturday or Monday, most likely, the weeks before it drops. And then going into July, we are focusing solely on Deadpool and Wolverine. So we're going to have more character studies for that. Wolverine, Deadpool. Starting off, we're going to also have a deconstruction, reconstruction, just talking about X-Men Origins Wolverine and how they fumbled the bag on that movie somehow. And then finally, we're going to have our Deadpool and Wolverine movie review. So that's what to look forward to. Let's get into these fall-offs.
Oh man, firstly, I think I almost choked a bit when you said the name of the movie that should not be named, which is actually a growing list. But yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Let's talk about one of the biggest fall-offs in anime history. Now, we do gotta note, this is our personal opinion on, well, some of it's our personal opinion, some of it's just straight up fact. I'm not even gonna lie to you about that. But some of these fall-offs is actually kind of incredible. And by incredible, I mean absolutely ludicrous, ridiculous, redonkulous, just befuddled. Some of these, like, because some of these are peak for a while, and then just jump right off a cliff.
Yeah.
That's how big the fall off is. So,
that's what my number one is. So, yeah.
Man, I don't even have these in any order. They just all fall off.
All right. So, let's start with Ninja Kamui, and then we can get into the honorable mention, since Ninja Kamui is the one I mentioned up topping, what kind of kickstarted us for this episode.
The first, man, all right, so let me tell it to you guys like this. First few episodes, heat. The first episode alone was straight gangster heat. The action, impeccable. The story, just revenge story. I'm like, okay, the ninjas, the action, the blood, the death, let's get it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, America, we finally got our bag. We finally getting it right when it comes to our own anime. And then like episode 4 happened, or was it 5? It was one of those two episodes.
Whenever they introduced mechas, for me, that's when, I think 4 or 5 are earlier than mechas, maybe, but whenever they introduced it is when I was like, okay, I'm being careful.
Yeah, so it fell off pretty much when the mechas were introduced, because, at least for me, the reason why I was so into it is because of the fact that the animation was hand-drawn. It was crisp. It was fluid. You know, you could see everything that was happening. And then they introduced mecha suits in a ninja show.
Yeah.
Which, one, does not match the tone at all.
Yeah, it was a very hard tonal shift.
Yeah, but B, especially considering the fact that earlier in the episodes, you see like ninja techniques and ninja arts that's basically magic. So straight up adding science to it, like, Now, the next thing, but the biggest thing about it was how they animated those mecha suits, because they used straight up CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And the CGI clashed with the 2D backgrounds like tremendously. And you want to know how tremendous? Well, you guys have seen, you know, the Star Wars prequels. You guys have seen the special editions of the Star Wars movies. And everybody likes to complain about the CGI in those movies and how jarring they were. Well, take that and put it in animation. That's basically what you got. So yeah, huge fall off. I can't say enough about it, because it is just no.
Yeah. All right. So transitioning into just the honor. Oh, the one thing you did mention to me, I remember, was that that last episode, it was added and then it was CGI after the season technically ended.
Oh my good. Oh yeah. Yeah. That was ridiculous. I mean, just, well, it wasn't full on CGI, but it was like one of those episodes where you really didn't need an extra episode, an extra episode just to tell that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering the fact that over half of it was straight up CGI. Most of the episode was CGI. And you're just like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. So transitioning into honorable mentions, this one was kind of tough, because for me, some of the honorable mentions that I have are like shows that were peak, but then something weird happened and it didn't necessarily fall off, but it kind of like dropped the quality of the show. And then also some of them are like either remakes, or like, for one of them, the initial Full Metal Alchemist show that dropped, where I haven't seen it, but I heard that it, you know, diverges from the manga, and then that was the whole purpose of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood being created. So that's one thing that I have. And then also another one is like, in terms of remake, is say a Berserk, the 3D
anime. Sorry, I felt something in my chest for a second there.
So we have like peak shows that were either needed to be remade or were remade. So yeah.
Yeah. And then in my case, pretty much most of my honorable mentions are mostly like shows that technically are still peak, but they may have had like an arc or two that just straight up took a nosedive, yeah, but then they bounce back extra quickly.
I have some like that too. So if you want to throw out your first one.
All right. So my first one is unfortunately one of the big three. You got to come up here.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bleach bounce arc.
Ooh.
That is a fall off upon fall offs. Firstly, you coming off the back of like one of the strongest arcs in the series with the Soul Society arc. And you actually had the unfortunate aspect of following that up, of getting followed up by another one of the greatest arcs in that series with the Arrancar arc.
Ooh.
So you were just sandwiched in between two greatness. So like it you had a high task to fulfill. So what'd you do? You created an arc that basically made no sense, and you reused a lot of the things that were happening in the Soul Society arc, like when Zangetsu took over Ichigo's body, aka Holify. It was the exact same thing to a ludicrous degree. And the story just made no sense. None of the characters were relatable. None of the characters are memorable. In fact, I don't even remember any of the bounce names.
Isn't that technically a filler arc, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Bleach filler. If it wasn't for the Thousand Year Blood War arc, Bleach might be in the actual Fall House, but it got saved.
Got saved by adaptation later. That's crazy. It's crazy.
For my first one, we've had this conversation before, but it is like one of the peak animes, especially for introductory ones. But, oh, just as a note, listeners, there will be spoilers in this, but Death Note.
Oh my God.
Death Note is the one that I'm like, it's hard to say it's a true fall off because the quality of the show is so good. It's just after you know who dies.
After episode 25, if you know, you know.
It really drops and you're just kind of like, I don't care about this new character too much. It's kind of like the end of the excitement for it in a sense. And it just kind of like wraps up that way. So yeah, Death Note is debatable. I still think it's an incredible show. It's just like after, and the character that died had to die in the show. I understand that, but it's just like they made the character too great to do anything with it.
All right, now this one kind of gonna hit people in so many feels. Unfortunately, it hits me in the feels on this one a bit. Boondocks.
We're counting that as anime.
We have to count. That's why I'm putting in honorable mention.
That's fair.
So
yeah, you're right.
The last season, just what was going on with that last season? I don't know what was up with Boondocks in the last season. Just the straight up quality of it was just not there. It was just doing stuff just for the sake of it, rather than like the actual Boondocks being like legit. And when it comes to like episodes and like episode quality and everything, like I don't remember like a lot of it except for one specific episode, and that's the Stink Meaner Returns episode. And that one I consider like a true fallout, because like, so you just gonna bring the man back by cloning
again?
Like, come on. I thought we was done with the trilogy, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. The trilogy, it ended off on the best note possible, and you just decide to say, you know what, we can't leave it well enough alone. And also, again, like, most of the jokes weren't as funny. I still consider season 1 through 3 just straight up peak. I will rewatch everything up to the end, but then I just can't after that. It's just not memorable anymore.
That's fair. Was there like a big gap between season 3 and season 4? I remember like...
Yes, there was a gap between it, which I think is partially why, because a lot of the jokes in there was like the 2010s-ish.
Mm. Okay, yeah. So that's a good one. Okay, so for the next one, this one could technically qualify for like the actual fall-offs, but the later arcs are so good compared to like where it fell off at. And so this is going to be a big one that a lot of people know about. So Sword Art Online.
Oh, no, I put that one straight up in in my fall offs.
Here's the thing. Alicization arc is so good that it doesn't reach like the perception of it doesn't reach like season 1, but it's so good that I think of that more than I think of like the second half of season 1 into season 2 and like all the spinoffs. So, and then like obviously Sword Art Online is one of the OG isekai into like a gaming realm before it's like all the copycats of it that we see today. But yeah, it's because of the Alicization arc is the only reason I have it as an honorable mention.
Mm. All right. Now this one also is going to hurt my soul a little bit. Yu-Gi-Oh! Come Here. Now, there.
Which one?
Listen, there are 2 points in this time where I believe they fell off, and it fell off bad. Number one was the Waking the Dragons arc, which was when it was like Yu-Gi-Oh and Kaiba, and they had dragons. And the whole thing about that arc that just upset me to the most end, because that a lot of the people, they were acting straight up out of character. Yugi was not acting like Yugi. Kaiba was not acting like himself. Well, he was mostly acting like... He was actually probably the only person that was acting like himself. And that's saying...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
That's not saying a lot about Kaiba, but like a lot of the characters were not acting like themselves. Yugi being number one, being the main character who did not succeed. And it was like, nah. And the way the saga resolved itself was like, nah, just stop.
I'm trying to remember. Is this when he started like using like the green curse thing, just like going,
yep.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Illivore Kalkos.
Yeah.
Nah. But now I'm getting into the spinoffs, okay, or the sequels, if you will, because GX, Eek.
Yes. Okay.
5Ds, Eek. Zexa, what in the world was that? What was that show? How do you follow up greatness by looking at a protagonist and be like, who's this guy? You do not. Look, the main character of Zexal, Yuma, he does not get to stand with the greats as one of the main characters, because literally he gets carried by the dueling spirit next to him. He gets carried the entire series. And at that point, I'm just like, nah. That's the point where I stopped watching the shows afterwards, because
not fair.
A, because I was aging out of it, and B, I'm just like, no.
When he said GX, I started getting scared, but yeah, you're right. GX hit.
I was like, GX was peak. Why do you think I still played Heroes all them years?
Exactly.
It was peak.
All right. So for this next one, it's on watch because of a sequel series to it. It hurts me because it's like one of my top two animes of all time. Naruto?
No.
Question mark?
Just go. Oh, nah. Bring
it to Boruto?
Bring that here, Boruto.
I don't know why it existed in the form it does. Obviously money. I don't know why they didn't just wait, because I remember you showing me one time that it had filler for 2.5 straight years of filler for Boruto. And then Shippuden suffered from like separate like long periods of filler. So I think like if you remove filler from Naruto and Shippuden, you can, you know, debate about the end and just like the power-ups and scaling and all that. But Boruto, man, I don't know what the main plot is, except for like it has some gas fights. Like anyone that says it doesn't is lying. And I know you mentioned that the manga is kind of picking up right now post time skip, but man, the quality of that show is not great.
Okay. I like to put it to you like this. All right, when it comes to Boruto, here's the thing. When it comes to all the gas fights in that series, who does it always involve?
Naruto and Sasuke?
Exactly. You do not see the sun anywhere.
Only to finish up with the Momoshiki fight. That was the only one.
And speaking of, you legit, in my opinion, the series ended with Boruto the movie.
Yes.
Like, if you cut it off there, perfect ending.
See, my thing is that if they knew the manga was still going with the movie, right? They could have started when they started like with the movie arc, and then like let it sit, and then they could just tell the canon story, and it would be like fine-ish. And then especially now, like the post time skip, let it cook some more, kind of like what Black Clover is doing. I think you would be fine. I like obviously the aliens and stuff. You can debate, hey, this isn't a ninja show anymore, but I think you would be fine with it. But it's just, man, the filler. And I don't know what's canon and what's not. So I think that is just like really what kind of hurts Boruto in a sense.
Yeah, definitely.
But if I'm going to give it a chance, just like with Bleach and the Thousand Year Blood War, where if it like it waits and then comes back. Okay.
All right. Okay, good. So with that, my final honorable mention, it goes to another one that we may. That's debatable on whether or not it's an anime or not.
Mm.
Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Whoa! Are you talking about the remake with Korra or the first series?
We talking about Korra.
Oh, thank God.
We talking about Korra.
I'm with you.
Because I don't even know. I don't even know what to say.
She fumbled the bat.
Because Korra, what was she? She was everything Aang was not.
And still fumbled the bag.
And fumbled even harder. Like, okay, here's the only thing about the Korra series that I like is that I saw a meme where it's like, where it showed an older Aang getting bloodbended and it says, when you remember, you gotta lock in. And then he immediately Avatar states and then just pulls up. I'm like, that is a hard line, but it sucks it came out of Korra.
That's so funny.
And the only all I can say that's good.
Whenever you have to start with, I saw a meme, to give something a compliment. But I mean, with that, what's crazy is that, like, she lost the entire Avatar lineage. Like, just got that yeeted out of her. Like, I don't, and then the love triangle was just crazy. I don't know how that works.
I don't know either, but it, again, that's one of the biggest fallouts. And you know what's crazy? Because I have the Blu-ray set that I bought from the store, and it contains both Avatar and Korra. Mm. Which one do you think I still haven't opened yet?
Korra.
Yeah.
Did it just come with the Avatar one?
Yeah, it came with both of them, and I just only took, like, let me just get this one out, and let's go ahead and rewatch. And I was like, I'm not going to throw this one away because I might just go ahead and resell it. I'm not even going to lie to you. In a few years.
All right, so now we are going to get into our main portion, and just like, this is going to be a round table. We're going to go back and forth about animes that truly, in our opinion, and then also objectively fell off. So do you want to start?
Oh yeah, all right, let's go ahead and talk about it. I don't know which one to start off with because they all kind of crazy, but you know what, let's start off a little light. Tokyo Ghoul.
That's light
for me, because because what I'm about to say about everything else,
we probably have some overlap.
But yeah, Tokyo Ghoul, great show, phenomenal. And I love Jason Voorhees. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong character. My bad. Wrong franchise. But yeah, Kaneki versus Jason, again, one of the most peak fights I've ever seen in my entire life. But then what was season two?
I don't know.
What was that?
Have you read the manga for Tokyo Ghoul?
I don't believe I have, actually.
Okay, I haven't, and that's where most of the people have issues with it. When I first started watching season two, that was when I was, like, new into binging anime, I would say, so I kind of didn't, like, get it as, like, some other stuff we're going to get into, but if you just, like, want to kind of cover that more.
Yeah, I think, like, a lot of the biggest fall-offs in that one comes from the fact that character motivations, character was just not there. They were just doing stuff just for the sake of it. Like, there was basically no story to it. Mm. And it was just, it just didn't hit the same. I'm not even gonna lie to you. It was basically like them trying to retread or trying to, like, reignite, like, what the first season was like, but fumbling at every single turn. So
did you see Tokyo Ghoul Re?
No, I have not, actually.
I like started it, but apparently it's like the canon part to after the first one. But
so basically it's the brotherhood of...
Essentially, but it kind of keeps Route A as quote-unquote anime canon. So like a lot of it is super confusing if like you watch Route A into Re.
Huh. That I would... I wouldn't know. So... But yeah, all I knew is that season two was just a fall off among fall offs. So I have to had to hit him with it.
So that was one of mine. Do you want me to go light or heavy?
Let's keep on the same drain. Let's gradually progress to straight darkness.
Okay, so I have a few others. So one of mine I've talked about once before, Darling in the Franxx.
Oh,
I.
That was gonna be one of my heavier ones. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Since we're already here, I think the first 16 episodes are some of the greatest mecha episodes ever seen. So there's one episode where you get a flashback and it kind of tells the history of why Hiro and it's not D2, I forgot her name, but the main heroine of the show is how they know each other, why he can like kind of pilot with her. And I'm like, yo, this is incredible. This is like great setup. It explains a lot. Then the next episode, he wakes up from the hospital and that's when it falls apart with just like his entire team getting in the way. And then this is where it starts to get crazy too. So the things that they are initially fighting are the good guys, and they're something, and what they were being controlled by are the bad guys that we've never seen before. And this is like, they have 7 episodes to kind of wrap this up. So it's like, there are new villains that are other aliens that are evil things. And then the main heroine turns into a spaceship.
Oh, yeah,
no sense of battle. And at this point, I'm just like, I don't know what's happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. I don't know what in the world that was. What in the world was I looking at? Nothing made sense anymore.
It just stopped making sense.
Oh, goodness gracious. But yeah, that was a complete fall off upon fall offs, man.
That was bad, yeah.
Yeah, but speaking of, since we're on this gravy train, let's go ahead and talk about it. God of High School. For the exact same reason, all right? Because of, like, that show, it was gas, right? It was gas. The hands were immaculate. And then, the last 3 episodes, you're just like, huh?
We're fighting God.
We're fighting gods already. You blink and it's like, did I just miss a bunch of character development? Like, did I just miss some escalation? What is this?
Goku?
Help? Help me? Can we figure something out? The heck is this? But just not. Crazy fall off.
Along those lines, Tower of God, I heard, fell off. I didn't watch Tower of God, but I heard it was like weird. The ending of season 1.
I haven't seen it either, so.
All right. So we're still building up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So for this next one, it's a shonen anime that it starts off really incredible. And I'm not going to pretend that it was going to be one of the big 3. But if it would have continued on the path that it was going on, it would be at least fairy tale level of respect. And mostly it's because of the ending, which I think is one of the dumbest endings I've ever seen in an anime. We're talking about Soul Eater.
I was like, please tell me it's exactly what I think it was.
Yes. Soul Eater has one of the most incredible combat systems. The start is incredible. Kid is incredible with just like his symmetry. We have Black Star who wants to kill God, which was just like an incredible motivation. And then just like even the main ones with like the dude turns into a scythe. So that builds up. I don't know where it diverges from the manga because I haven't read it, but
diverge like right towards the end.
Yes. So with the end, okay. Apparently, like they said, like the team ups and powers once we reach the end are kind of like not canon and kind of it starts to get ridiculous. But so this entire time they're building up, like they have a special attack to like kind of take out a witch, I believe is the most powerful, like witch hunter is the name of the attack. So they get to the final fight, which is the boss bigger than a witch, the Kishin, if you will. They have an attack that is one of the most powerful attacks in the entire show that they pull out of nowhere, which is incredible. And then the attack does absolutely nothing. And the reason it doesn't is because the Kishin is powered by madness. Madness is a part of the world, thus it is not evil, and their attack only works on evil.
Nani?
But the way they defeat him is with a punch of bravery powered by friendship.
Yep.
Come on, man.
The power of friendship strikes again.
Dude, that was insane. So there's this, I don't know if you watched Legends of Tomorrow when it was on the CW at the time.
Yeah, I did.
So do you remember the first crossover where it had, Vandal Savage?
Oh.
So it reminds me of this where it's with Vandal Savage. This is season 1 spoiler. The show picks up after season 1. But it was like Vandal Savage has been killing a hot girl and hot guy.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The entire, like, for centuries, And then they finally realize that, oh, he has a knife. And if you use the knife against him, you can kill him. And then Hot Guy uses the knife on him. And then he goes, but the knife belongs to Hot Girl. She's the only one that can use it to kill me. Thus, I can kill you. It was like that level for Soul Eater where it was just like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So Soul Eater, you could have been Fairy Tail at least. But yeah, that was a fall off because of the ending.
Mm-hmm. And now let's talk about another fall off. And this one actually goes between two different series. I'm talking about you. Mobile Suit Gundam Seed to Seed Destiny. Oh, okay, let me go ahead and talk about this for my mecha peoples. All right, let's put it like this. All right, Gundam Seed. It was a great series. It was basically kind of like a semi-reboot of the OG, and you got like a lot out of it. And then you come to the sequel, and it seems like it's basically doing the same thing over and over again, which we were fine. And we were looking at things from the other side's perspective. I was like, all right, everything looking good. And then they reintroduced the main character from Seed, to which he's now known as Jesus Yamato, because of the fact that, one, he fights like the main character of Seed Destiny, and it appears that he's killed.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, literally, there's no way that he could have gotten out of it, because his mobile suit was stabbed in the cockpit, and then it blows up.
Mm-hmm.
He could not have survived that, but he does, with no explanation. He survives, he gets a stronger Gundam model, and then just takes out the entire opposite side, all while being a complete pacifist, saying like, oh no, we need to all stop war by basically having a stronger Gundam and committing a bunch of crimes.
Being Eren Jaeger?
Yeah. Well, no, he doesn't actually kill people.
Okay.
He literally destroys mobile suits, that's it. Now, if somebody dies from said mobile suit getting destroyed, then that's on him. But also at the same time, the main character for Seed Destiny, he starts losing his mind. Wanna know why? Because in Japan, they had like a poll to see like, all right, who did you like more as a main character, Jesus Yamato or Shin? And everybody chose Jesus Yamato, so he basically usurped him as the main character halfway through the show. And Shin became the secondary villain of the series.
Of his own show?
Of his own show. What other show does that where, oh yeah, the main character slowly becomes the final villain. Oh wait, hold on. I was about to talk about, no. He slowly becomes the villain of the series, and it's all about him, all because of some polls. Nah. So outside interference basically ruined him as a character. That's why Seed Destiny fall off upon fall offs, but apparently this new movie that's coming out, Gundam Seed Freedom, is apparently going to be the redemption story. So,
oops.
Time will tell if this is a redemption or a continued fall off.
Okay. For my next, the rollout is very confusing. It's you're gonna automatically know what I'm talking about as soon as I say it. It's one of the best mecha shows to ever exist. Starting off with, but. Then it just goes, it's technically an honorable mention, to be fair. But Neon Genesis Evangelion?
No. Whoa.
It's because of the first ending. I don't know what happened. Congratulations.
Okay. I can kind of see where you're coming from.
The rest of it, incredible. It's just that first season ending was very like, what is happening right now?
It was a not ending.
Yes.
Okay. Woo! You had me scared.
That's why I had to fix it to semi-honorable mention, because it's just very, like, they had to do so many remakes to make it make sense. But to go to a real one, because there's one I know you have on your list that we are going to destroy. But before we get there, Seven Deadly Sins.
That's awesome. I was going to be next on my list, but
we can cover it together.
Let's do it. Let's talk about season 3.
Yes. What happened? Let's talk.
You want to know what happened in season 3?
Yes.
Animation decline.
That budget cuts.
The budget just became non-existent. Oh my goodness. If you just saw the steals from just a random moment in season 3, you'd just be like, oh, so this was your peak? This is y'all's king? This is your king right here? Meliodas looking like a complete total clown. He looking like he never worked out leg day a day in his life.
Season one was incredible, man. They didn't deserve season three.
And season two was just as peak because Escanor.
Yes.
And then what? What was that?
That's one of your best fights, and you just kind of like fumble it like that. I know how it ends. I just didn't end up watching like the very final part because they ended up splitting it into like multiple parts for some reason, which kind of ruined the flow of the show for me. But yeah, Seven Deadly Sins was another one where it's like you could be fairy tale level. They have another spinoff. I think it's like the four. It's like Knights of the Round Table. It's like that kind of storyline. I forgot what it's called. It's like the four something.
Yeah, I forgot too, but I know. I think that's the one where it's like about the kids, right?
Yeah, it's about him. So it's like a spinoff to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what. But honestly, I haven't seen like anything past the ending.
Yeah,
because I was just like, my soul just burns.
You want to finally do it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Now this is a show started off peak. The story was peak. Everything about it was peak. Had us captivated from day one all the way through season one. And then season two continued that promise up until it didn't. Promise Neverland, bring your show right here now.
Oh boy.
Cause what happened? What were y'all thinking? What were y'all smoking in the room when y'all decided to do the thing that you did?
Dude.
Old manga chapters.
Dude, like when it first started season two, I was like, okay, because again, for this was kind of like early on for me with anime. It's like I didn't read the manga, but like it was like people would be saying like, hey, you're skipping entire arcs, you're writing out entire characters, and this is like episode two, episode three, and then there's one character that comes back that you thought was dead, and they're like, yo, this is many arcs down the line, like this should not be happening right now, and then it ends completely. And I'm just like, you know, it's like the Game of Thrones type, the final season-esque, where it's just like, you want it to be done with the show. And we're like, okay, it's over. Like, don't ask us for any more. And it's like, why? This could have kept going for many seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really did. It showed a whole lot of promise, if you will. But unfortunately, we never reached the land that we were... and we were promised. So, unfortunately, the show was just a complete and total disaster. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Just everything from, again, like skipping whole manga chapters, skipping whole character arcs. Literally, it goes from like the end of the episode, everybody's just out here running for their lives, and then cuts to the next episode, and they're basically doing literally something else. You're just like, hold on, did I miss an episode? Did like we skip something?
Like with the location they found, they were saying like there's a character who's one of the best characters in the manga that they completely wrote out the show, which didn't make any sense. And for the finale, they wrapped it up with a montage, entire arcs. And it's like, I forgot the main girl's name because I kind of wiped that show from my mind.
Emma?
But Emma, she was talking to like the demon god or whatever to negotiate peace, and that's something that I heard was incredible. So that's a show that I definitely need to read, but I don't know why they did that. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in an anime.
Like, there's no way. I don't understand, man. This is like literally the show that was like, okay, everything's going right, and then it went all the way left.
Season one is one of the best seasons of an anime, period. Like end of discussion, no like this type of anime, just anime period. And they, I don't know what happened.
Fumble.
Like in a
fumble on the play.
And they had the source material too. Unlike, you know, some of the ones we listed, like they diverged or the source material wasn't complete when they like started to diverge. This one was already completed.
Mm-hmm.
That was my last one. I don't know what others you have, but that to me, that's the biggest fall off ever in an anime.
This was the biggest fall off because we discussed everything else on the list. My spirit is heavy right now. You know what I'm saying? I can't.
So listeners, put in the comments or just like message us about what you think is the biggest personal anime fall-offs for you. So with that, we need to take a big break to hit our sponsor for the day.
All right, so for today's sponsor, we have none other than the Blurred City Animation Studio. Come join us today as we decide to adapt your favorite anime, your favorite manga, into a spectacular array of a series with the budget that it rightfully deserves, and we follow the manga to the letter of the law. Just know that when we adapt the series, we adapt series that are already done, so that way we have the entire material, so that way you guys do not have to wait for any filler or have to diverge like, say, Full Metal Alchemist, Helsing, and anything like that. So come and join the Blurred City Animation Studio today, because we will not work you as hard as MAPPA does.
All right, thank you. With that, so for our next segment, we are doing something that we haven't done in a long time. So this is going to be the biggest hater segment. Meech is going to cover it. I have no idea who he's going to bring up, but I know it's just going to have some Black Air Force energy, if you will.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But I do got to let you guys know that the Black Air Force segment has been reworked. It has been modified. You could say that it has evolved to a state beyond what is known to humanity. Now, instead of just having Black Air Forces, which almost every single person here has, we're talking about the biggest haters in fiction. The biggest haters, period. I'm not even going to lie to you. And what are the biggest haters? You know, people who just hate on a person, a place, a thing for no reason whatsoever. It has to be unreasonable, and the person has to basically be innocent of their wrongdoings. And for me, since we are beginning our X-Men months, since we are beginning our talks into Deadpool and Wolverine, I need to start off with one of the biggest haters of all time in the X-Men verse, and that's all of humanity. I'm not even gonna lie to you. All you humans are just a bunch of racists towards these mutants. And there are a few of you within those numbers that have very special place in my heart, right? And these three people, number one, Bolivar Trask, the creator of the Sentinels, the creator of the robots designed to exterminate or subjugate all mutants. That's crazy. It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you create robots and then eventually you get to Days of Future Past where they took over and they realize that, oh yeah, to stop all the mutants, we need to get rid of all the people who have the X gene. Who has all the X genes? You regular humans. Get slapped. And then next up on our list is none other than William Stryker. So the next person, William Stryker, there are two reasons why. Number one, in the movie continuity, he is the reason Wolverine got messed up in the first place. He's the reason he lost his memory. He's the reason he got his adamantium. He's just a giant racist. And the fact he used his own son to try to kill all the mutants. That's crazy. Nah. William Stryker, get out of here. And then the final person on our list. Oh, yeah. And also in the comic books, he is a evangelical teacher who decides to employ the Friends of Humanity, the entire racist group. He is basically the Grand Wizard of the Triple K. Basically, the Triple K of mutants. Nah. Stop it. And then our third person is none other than Bastion of X-Men 97 fame. And you is probably...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I think the most egregious, because you are a mutant. Mutant haters, you are the Uncle Ruckus of mutants. And you basically got a plan that got my boy Gambit taken from us. Nah, you had Magnegro decide to go rogue. Pun fully intended.
He went rogue on all of humanity and got Wolverine clap. And now because of you, Onslaught about to come out this mug. Nah, get out of here. But all three of y'all, in particular, y'all get, you are on Mount Hatemore, the biggest haters of fiction, but all of humanity in the X-Men verse, all of y'all are up there too.
Don't forget how they did Madeline dirty, how Cable was tortured 200 times having to try to save his mom and all of Genosha. I can't debate that. That's top tier haters right there.
It's like that. It's the perfect way to start up the segment. It's just talking about the biggest X haters of all time. Come on, man.
That's incredible. Yep, biggest hater segment. That's something that's gonna be dropping more as we progress through to the this X universe for these next few episodes. So with that, we are going to get into our What's Hot segment. So that is what's cool in anime, pop culture, books, movies, TV shows. So we've been gone for a while. So Meech, can you kind of speed run us through it?
All right. So anime wise, we got One Piece, Mashle, Kaiju number 8. They all goated, you know what I'm saying? And then also at the same time, we also have some release dates. Okay, so in my opinion, all right, let's get into the manga. Let me do this in order, right? Manga wise, My Hero Academia, it's well, apparently they just confirmed that it's continuing for a little bit longer.
Okay.
I don't know what in the world they're gonna do. But
love arcs, maybe.
I have no idea, but I'm just let the king cook. All right, I'm just gonna let him cook. Now, JJK manga. Oh man, all you Gojo fans, all you Gojo fans are hurting. All you Gojo fans are hurting. The biggest bait and switch in all of anime history. I can't say anything. That's all I'm gonna say. All you Gojo fans are in pain right now after this new chapter. That's all I'm gonna say, right? All right, so in the realm of comics, we got ourselves, well, currently in Marvel, there's this Blood Hunt event. Blade got his own vampire event. Miles Morales got turned into a vampire, so it's wraps for all of Zoo York at this point. But also there's the Venom War that got announced. That's coming out in August.
The suit is back.
Let's just say one of my glorious kings is back, and let's just say he back in black. I'm not even going. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. If you know, you know. But then also you got the Venomverse Reborn series, which the Venomverse is coming back, and guess who's going to be in the first issue?
Who?
Insomniac Venom.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes. So. Apparently Insomniac Venom like gets plucked out of the game and goes right into the comic and he fights our god.
So that's Demon Time Venom too.
Yes, and he fights him.
Wow.
Yes, he fights the king in black.
Wow.
So let's just say Insomniac, Yuri Lowenthal, you got your work cut out for you, my boy. But yeah, so continuing on, we got ourselves a game. Also, oh yeah, I forgot. And also in terms of animation, the Suicide Squad Isekai anime, they just released who is voicing Peacemaker in the Japanese dub.
Okay, cool.
It's a certain voice. I'm just going to name a couple of names and you will know just based off timing who it is. Toji.
Ooh.
Dio.
Oh, God.
Yes, the voice actor for Toji and Dio in the Japanese is voicing Peacemaker.
Oh, jeez.
And yes, he has the full Dio voice, too. I'm like, oh, nah. I'm scared of this man. I'm more scared of him than I ever had in life. But yeah, continuing on. Okay, so we have ourselves in gaming. Dragon Ball Z, Sparking Zero. More like the Fusion trailer. Come out. Let's get it. Fusion Ha. And let's just say my glorious King Gogeta is out here. We about to take names. You guys are not ready to see me on the sticks. All right. Moving on. We have Marvel Rivals, which is an Overwatch-esque game with Marvel tattooed on it. They released a trailer. They released another trailer beforehand. They had, like, you know, all your standard assortment of heroes. You know, Spider-Man was in there, Iron Man, Punisher, Scarlet Witch. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And then they released the second trailer where two of my glorious kings are in there. Obviously, young Mag Negro. And then, obviously, my king, Venom. And he looks like the Insomniac Venom. I'm like, oh, well, guess I gotta get this day one. God dang it. All right. Yep, so, all right, and continuing on from there, we have ourselves the Silent Hill 2 remake. They released footage, they released a trailer, it's coming out very soon, and let's just say I'm gonna go ahead, plug up my PS2 and replay the OG just for a little bit so I can get myself reacquainted in the world of Silent Hill. Also, in terms of gaming, Call of Duty is doing a Gundam collab.
Ooh.
Where you have Gundam skins. And continuing on with that, Mortal Kombat 1 released their Homelander trailer. And Homelander's looking all types of, let's just say the milk is, watch your milk. That's all I'm going to say is, make sure you're fully stocked up on milk in the fridge. Just know that, when it's come time for his gameplay to be revealed, I will hop on with Omni-Man. I'm hopping on with Omni-Man because you know what time I'm about to be on. It's wraps around. He ain't going to stand it. Matter of fact, I'm going to switch to one of the weakest characters in the game and just body Homelander. Ooh. That's for the disrespect. But yeah. And then, of course, as I said, like the Acolyte's coming out. At the time of this episode, it already dropped. So yeah, so that. And then also House of the Dragon is coming out, and then The Boys season 2 is dropping. So, bam, what you got?
Yeah, season 4 of that. You basically covered everything. Only thing with movies, Bad Boys 4 is dropping either this week that this episode comes out or the next week. Inside Out 2, same situation. If you have kids that you listen to, with anime, I heard Windbreaker is really good. It's like Tokyo Revengers with a better main character. Yeah, without time travel and a better main character is what people are saying. But I heard it's like straight hands as well. So Windbreaker is something that a lot of people have been reacting to and say it's really good. I just haven't had time to kind of catch up on it. Another thing with gaming, College Football 25, when we went on our break, that announce date has been released July 19th. It's coming out. And then they also finally dropped a gameplay trailer for it. I've been looking about some of kind of just the details. I'm super excited about it. So that's something that I will, the week before DreamCon, be out of commission doing.
like we all are.
And then just quickly with a mini freak out, geek out, Comic Palooza happened in Houston, like last week of it. If you want to kind of touch on it, I know the big thing for us is we both met John Cena and took a picture with him.
Yep, we sure did. It was great. It was phenomenal. You know, the man is huge, and I still haven't washed that shirt from where he put his hand on my shoulder. I still haven't washed it, so unfortunately, I had to wash my hands because, you know, I'm not a heathen. But yeah, it was an amazing experience, and then, of course, as you know, I'm part of Saber Guild, so we had our whole alliance group there. It was an awesome time. I performed as the main character in the stage show. And as this man said, I got JJK'd, so dang, but don't worry. That's all part of the origin story. It's all part of origin. It's part of my character development, but yeah, so it was an amazing time. Vivian Lyra Blair was there in our like area. And we also got to like hang out with one of the many actresses who played Ajawa in Kenobi.
Mm.
It was a wonderful experience. And just, again, it was just an awesome time overall.
Booth right across from y'all, right?
Yep, sure did. So, yeah, I'm just really glad to be part of just an amazing group of folks. So, yeah, and then also got to meet Ryan Ottley.
Nice.
That's it. We got to meet our glorious king, Ryan Ottley. I got a signed a bloody Omni-Man. Let's get it. That's all I need.
Yeah, so with me, I got to meet my favorite author in Jim Butcher, got him to sign a book for me. Then also, again, the John Cena thing was incredible. We went to the Spy Family panel, which Fusion High hosted. So that was really fun just getting to hear them talk about kind of their journeys as voice actors and then the journey of the Forger family. So again, like we talked about with conventions and everything, it's just a great opportunity and experience to kind of open your horizons and then be around your own people. So we will also try to have a DreamCon episode, but it occurs right around the Deadpool and Wolverine, so it's going to be very complicated how we handle that episodes. But yeah, wrapping up, anything else you got before we do our plugs and get up out of here?
I mean, just expect just whatever's coming out, just to come out. There's nothing much else I need to say about that.
So, and as I mentioned, we will be doing recaps of the Acolyte. So next week, after you hear this, you will be getting our review of episode 1 through 2. And then again, that's going to lead into eventually us recapping The Boys. And then July, just expect Deadpool and Wolverine content. So let's do our plugs and get up out of here.
All right. So for our Instagram and our X, formerly known as Twitter and Threads, we are BlurredCD22. Like, comment, subscribe, and join us for all up to date on everything like that. We also have our YouTube and our Patreon under BlurredCDPod. If you do our Patreon, we get paid just even low as a dollar. Donate some cheddar to us, and then you get access to very exclusive episodes never before seen on the podcast. We also have our Discord, LinkedIn said Instagram page, where you can join a fine community of degenerates for just all of your hilarity and all your needs there. And then finally, we have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com, where we can where you can just send in episode suggestions, questions, comments, concerns, whatever you have. And if it's a critique, then just know it goes straight to the spam folder, especially if it involves anything involving monkeys. And then finally, I'm the Jedi Ronin still on TikTok, however long we have TikTok left. But on Instagram, I've changed up. I have evolved once again. I am now the Jedi born on Mustafar. Yeah, so you can follow me on there for all Saber content, especially as we're about to get back in gear for our next upcoming event.
Nice. For my individual author pages, for my X, we have @TheMad-16. For my Instagram, that is Metri_dash. That is METRI_DASH. And then if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, A Most Irregular Tale, you can catch that on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. All right, so let's leave the people with some words of encouragement.
All right, so my words of encouragement is just this. When you're facing a challenge, right, and you feel like that it's become too difficult, it becomes like, man, it's starting to be a burden, I don't think I can do it. Yes, you can. You can definitely finish it. I say give it 100% until you finish it. You're not going to let this job outdo you now. You're not going to let this task outdo you now, will it? Become the pettiest version of yourself to finish this task as strongly as humanly possible, so that way we don't end up with this entire list that we've mentioned today.
All right. Since we talked about fall-offs, my advice would be sometimes it is good to trust your gut, and then sometimes it's good to trust the people that have been entrusted with the material you're working on. So not all the times do you have to prove how smart you are. Sometimes you just have to go with the manual, follow the instructions, and you'll be good. So, as we always say, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. We're back. This is the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.